is looking for too much autonomy in the present situation is, I'm afraid, a fantasy. And I'll stop on that one.
The first thing I wanted to say was thanks for inviting me to speak. The second was that I think it's the timing of tonight's meeting is actually quite apposite, because although Jerry's report has now been with us for 2 years since you first published it?
Yeah, 2 years next month.
I don't think it's gone away in any sense in the public political discourse in Wales. And arguably, it's more relevant, it's more salient right now than it was when it was published. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. But the overarching reason is that Wales is arguably more salient in a UK political narrative, in a UK political debate right now, than we've been for quite a while. Perhaps more so than we've been for a very long while, and certainly more so than we were a couple of years ago. And I think that's for itself three principal reasons. One is constitutional debate that is happening right across the UK. It's not just in Scotland where we've got a very pressing discussion about what happens to the relationship between Scotland and England. In England, there is without a doubt a resurgent, renaissance sense of nationalism, and there is interest in all political parties in what we do to address that and what the cultural and institutional expressions of that might be at some point. That's the second reason, if you like, why I think Wales is more salient, because I think there is a political dimension to this. We have, for the first time, a Labour government in Wales and a Tory government in Westminster, and therefore that shines more of a light on Wales than we've had, arguably, for the whole period when Labour was in power in both jurisdictions. And the third reason is, of course, money. We are in more straitened economic times right now than we've been arguably for 60 years, but certainly for a very long time. So for those three reasons, constitutional issues, politics and money, the question of Wales within the Union, and the question of Wales versus England is very important. And that third point about money, I think, is also relevant in terms of thinking about the constitutional aspect, because they, like the Barnett Floor convergence, have converged. Debate about the constitution and the debate about money, the debate about the funding of Wales has converged in recent months. Probably the most explicit example of that has been the way in which the Tories and Liberals, and Jerry alluded to this a minute ago, have sought to invert, if you like, or subvert perhaps, that age-old argument about taxation and representation by suggesting that the Assembly of Wales isn't representative and certainly isn't accountable unless it has taxation powers. My view is that that is a subversion of that very well-established political argument, but it's one that casts the relationship between Wales and Westminster in financial and constitutional terms in a way in which we've not thought about it really since the period of devolution began. Now, is it reasonable for them to do that? Not necessarily, I think, prima facie is it reasonable, because I don't think it's reasonable to suggest that the Assembly without taxation powers is unaccountable. I think the Assembly is accountable, as we are accountable here in Westminster, through the ballot box. But I do think it's reasonable to ask the questions about the relationship between Wales and Westminster, in particular in respect of funding and how that legitimacy relates to funding, how sustainability of funding in Wales is to be addressed over the long term. Jerry also asked there, I think, well, he didn't pose it explicitly, but it was implied, you know, why do we stick to the Barnett Formula? Why have we stuck to the Barnett Formula in Labour? Why are the Tories adhering to the Barnett Formula right now, especially when there are other needs-based formulae that are used to apportion money in the English regions? Well, the very simple answer, and Jerry is right, broadly speaking, it's about Scotland. And when we were in power, I think there was a very strong Scottish lobby which understood that Scotland did very well from the Barnett Formula. But there was equally a strong lobby from Wales which understood that, relatively speaking, and over the historical run since Joe Barnett first applied the Barnett Formula, Wales had done relatively well. What's changed? Well, part of what's changed is Jerry's work and the fact that there is now a much clearer recognition that convergence is occurring for Wales, and that is progressively going to pose a greater and greater problem. One of the problems with our not having addressed this hitherto is it actually stopped us addressing seriously either what a needs-based formula would look like for Wales, or indeed going even further than that and thinking about what the other needs Wales might have that are particular and unique. I think we could and should have asked questions about the nature of deindustrialisation in Wales and deindustrialisation in parts of the northeast of England, for example, and the additional strains that that places, some of which are slightly intangible on communities and on public expenditure. Equally, we didn't really ask questions, I think, about the greater difficulty of those parts of Britain in competing in a more globalised world with the lesser resources and some of the ancillary problems associated with deindustrialisation. So the question, should we be asking for even more money for Wales if we were, as a Labour Party, interested in the more fair and equitable distribution of resources as we ought to be? So where are we now at this debate, post-Labour losing the election and the Tories winning? From the Tory Liberal perspective, they didn't win, of course, but they were the largest party. But from the Tory and Liberal perspective, they have now engaged on this territory and they are engaging it in a fairly aggressive fashion, challenging the accountability of the Assembly without taking on greater responsibility for raising taxes within the jurisdiction. And from our perspective, there is, I think, two elements. One, a suspicion about the true motivation of the Conservatives in particular in engaging in that debate in the aggressive way in which they have. A suspicion that, on the one hand, there